How's it going? I'm Lamont. This is my last podcast. I'm going for a song. Here's something that I've been listening to this week and enjoying. So check this out. Okay, so this is Little Children by Kool and the Gang, right? This came up randomly on my iTunes as I was playing music, right? And then, the thing about coming up in the 90s, when I came up being in music and stuff, is they had samples, right? And I know this isn't a stranger thing, but just hearing Little Children by Kool and the Gang made me think of this song by L. Varner, I Don't Care, and the song that's going to come after it, let's call it Suspense. So check this out, L. Varner, sampler of this song.
Tender only would deserve. She got some nerve, thinking every nigga's a herb that goes around tricking on every chicken that he's sticking. Male or female, whoever gassed, I need an ass kicking. Cause if it's more than one fella trying to get with her, the hell with the fly, she only sliding with the highest bidder. But if you ask me, she's nothing but a nasty, money hungry and classy. Whole happy Jackie.
Yo, son, where the mother, man? Let's keep it moving. That bitch ain't nothing but poison. Every nigga that bitch fuck with something happened to.
Jeez, so that's AZ, Ho Happy Jackie. That's two songs, L. Varner and AZ, coming off that Kool and the Gang, Little Children. That was just something that just popped in my head, and I was able to manifest it in an audio form for you, because I was listening to this other thing, right? I forgot what it was. It was something that gets a lot of listeners, because that's basically what I'm doing these days, is sitting around bitching about shit that hasn't happened for me that's happened to other people, right? So I was listening to something that had, like, an audience, You know, it was something on, I don't know, whatever it was. And the guy, oh, it was the Beatles channel on Sirius XM. And the guy was saying he's got, you know, access to, you know, Beatles and material, and he's got a show, and I'm sure at least tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people listen to the show, right? And he's bringing up examples of audio in an audio format, and he doesn't provide examples, the actual audio. And I'm like, whatever. So, I don't know, I just sit around thinking about ways that things would be better if I was given a chance to do what I want to do. And that is an unproductive life. Like I say, I'm working on my stuff, and I kind of got to go balls to the wall, exhaust it in order to modify it. It's a pattern. I'm aware. All right. So I saw some movies / TV shows, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about them because I like talking about movies and TV. The first thing I saw was a movie that came out like last year or something, and I was thinking about seeing it in the theater because it has an interesting concept, and I finally saw it. The movie's called The Circle. It has Tom Hanks and Hermione, Emma Watson. It's got John Boyega from Star Wars there. Anyway, the black guy from Star Wars, the new Star Wars. And Patton Oswalt's in there. So it's like, you know, good cast. And the prop. And the movie's about like a Facebook or Google-like website or something. And they're expanding, to the world. They're fantastic stuff. It starts off with Tom Hanks is playing like the Steve Jobs type guy, right? And he's got this little camera. Looks like an ice cube. But it's satellite images. And it's tiny. So you can't, like, tell it's there. So basically there's eyes all over the place, and it uploads to the circle, and they're able to take the data and modify, and they're doing facial modification and everything. It sounds entirely frightening, but they present it as, we're doing this great thing, it's gonna help society, and Tom Hanks is, you know, he's not evil Tom Hanks, he's like friendly Tom Hanks, you know, aw shucks, I'm just here to help you, but meanwhile I'm presenting the most evil fucking shit you could ever imagine. How was the movie, Lamont? Not good. It's not a good movie. It's got a good concept, but with poor execution, right? I'm watching this movie, and I'm watching the concept, and the things they present, like, are we doing too much with, like, our Facebook and social media and putting cameras all over the place? Is it too much? And it makes a really good point. And I honestly feel when you're watching the movie, because there's a good movie in there, and the way the movie is presented, it's like, it jumps around so much. Like, things happen, and you're like, clearly there was a scene that explains why this is happening, but they cut it out of the movie for whatever reason they have. See, my thought was, maybe the movie said so much about the Big Brother kind of state, and it was so good a movie that they hacked it up so you wouldn't focus on the message about, maybe we're relying too much on the social media and all this internet stuff. And instead of thinking about that, you're thinking about, man, that was a shitty movie that could have gone somewhere. I don't know. Just a little conspiratorial thought. But anyway, there's a scene where, okay, Emma Watson plays this girl. She's like working at some call center, and she gets a job at the Circle, you know, and she has sick parents, and they offer to heal Bill Paxton's MS, and you know, they're going to help him out. And the only cost is you wear a band around your wrist that monitors everything about you. And, like, I got this CPAP machine, and it apparently records my sleep, like when I'm sleeping, my sleep patterns and everything, sends it on to whatever, you know, it's satellite, whatever. And so a few hours later, I can look at my little sleep patterns on the website. I don't know if I like that so much, but it's a minor thing compared to the fact that people have pacemakers that can be hacked. And the only reason I know about that is from watching that fucking show Homeland, where somebody took, like, they hacked into the president or vice president or congressman's whatever pacemaker and made him have a heart attack, and I was like, you know what, this is a fake show and this is a plot point, but that can happen. And I actually looked it up, and that can happen. Like, people can, like, this was, I don't know what it was on, like 2020, or I haven't seen 2020 since the 90s, but 60 Minutes, something, some news thing, right? And they can hack into your car. Like, you could be driving along and someone can hack into your car and take over that fucking computer. And that's, I don't know if that's such a great idea. And then we're going to talk about automatic driverless cars or whatever. Yeah. Good idea. Put a shitload of those on the highway. And then make them hackable. Hey, hell, if they're talking about that shit in The Fate and the Furious, the fucking last Fast and Furious movie where that's a plot point where Charlize Theron took over a bunch of cars, it was pretty cool looking, but fucking pointless, ultimately, because honestly, who the fuck is even able to drive that fast in New York City? That's why that shit's bullshit. Anyway, so The Circle. Yeah, Emma Watson plays this girl. She's going to get, she gets a job there, and all her dreams start coming true. And then she starts espousing, like, the, you know, the circle and how it should be in everyone's lives and more. And at first she's skeptical, and then she has a little, I'm not going to spoil it, but she gets into a little situation, and all of a sudden she's all, like, super cheerleader for the circle. And it's like, did we miss the part where she was hypnotized or threatened? Or, no, she just, no, I'm in this. I'm all in. Yeah. And then there's John Boyega, who plays like the... Somebody else has to explain. Was he a ghost? Like, was his character a ghost? Was he a figment of her imagination? Did he actually exist? I mean, they brought up his name, and I know technically he exists. But honestly, if you removed him from the movie, you wouldn't have known it was even a part of the freaking movie. You remove all his scenes, and it is that inconsequential until the end. But honestly, it could have been the character who was her friend, and he could have done without that whole thing. But whatever. Okay. So, I don't know. And here's another little bit. In that scene where if you saw the movie, John Boyega brings Hermione down to, like, the secret catacombs of the circle, right? And then he like, walks her all the way down there. There's long hallways. You gotta go down some little ladder stairs. Gotta go down all the way into the catacombs. And then he's like, don't tell anybody about this. See you later. And then he takes off. Now, how do you have a dramatic exit from a scene when you gotta walk down a long-ass corridor? Like, was she supposed to hang back until he made it up the ladder, made it down the long-ass hallway so they didn't have to walk together? Or do you say, you don't ever tell anybody, we're not supposed to be seen together, peace, I'm out. And, like, how did that separation happen? Was there another way out? Was he like, go that way? He didn't say go that way. It was like, that was just awkward. All right. Don't see The Circle. I mean, it's not entirely harmless. Like, I made it to the end. Like, I've cut off movies because they were shit. But this one, yeah, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. All right, so The Circle, well, no, it wasn't that good. Let me be clear, but okay. And then one last thing about The Circle. There's a scene where, like, this guy and the girl come up to Hermione before she's, you know, fully adopted the Circle system. You know, and they come up to her and they're talking, and they, honest to God, I thought they were, like, androids. And it would have been interesting. I feel like of the missing scenes was the scene in the reveal where these two people were actual robots. Unless they were making the point that people that get into this actually start looking like robots. If that was the point, then ooh, deep. Okay, so I also saw Spider-Man, or as it's known for this new updated sleek generation, Spider-Bro. Because, you know, I don't know. The first time I came across Spider-Man that I recall, if it wasn't a cartoon, it might have been a cartoon. Like a shitty, I think there's like a shitty 60s or 70s cartoon that I saw. But then I remember Electric Company, which was one of my favorite shows on PBS. And then it had like, there was a bunch of segments, and there was like, Spider-Man, where are you coming from, Spider-Man? Nobody knows who you are. And it was dope because he had like a little CG web that they shot out of his hands. And then it like, they threw a net on people, like when they cut to the bad guys caught in the web. It was fun. And then there was Spider-Man and Spider-Man, Iceman and Firestar. They had like their afternoon their cartoon, man. That was awesome. Whenever we played, my sister was always Firestar and I was Iceman and my brother was Spider-Man. That was a good time. Anyway, yeah, man. So like Spider-Man was special, but over the years they've kind of made me not give as much of a shit about Spider-Man. Like, I really don't. Like, right now, Spider-Man's a little, like, black Puerto Rican kid, I think Miles Morales. That's cool. That's cool, man. But, yeah. Anyway, so saw Spider-Man. I call it Spider-Bro because it's like, you know, like I was saying, when I was coming up, Spider-Man was always like this little poor kid, bit of a loser, got bit by a radioactive spider on a trip, and then he got these powers, and then because of the powers, it's like, man, all these, you know, what do you do with them? And then because of all that power, you know, comes responsibility, right? And that was the whole thing. But now, you know, fucking Spider-Man's got a fucking billionaire benefactor, he got a trust fund, he's got a super suit with fucking computers, Aunt May's totally fuckable, she's not like an old woman with gray hair and shit. Like, it's like Spider-Bro. Yeah, we got our axe spray. Spider-Bro. But anyway, the movie wasn't that bad. ultimately, they needed to upgrade. They couldn't tell the same stupid story all along, but basically what they did was they folded it into the Marvel Universe, which they had to, because clearly Sony has zero idea what to do. They're talking about doing another version of the Fantastic Four after they already fucked it up so many times, but they're not going to do it with Reed and Sue. They're going to do it with their kids. So it's like, hey, you fucking assholes, I'm not really super into Marvel comic lore, but from what I understand, everybody keeps saying Dr. Doom is, like, the most badass villain in, like, all of Marvel, right? Like, above Magneto and everything, right? So, and Thanos, and I ain't Galactus, and all these other motherfuckers, they say Doom is, like, the best villain, but they relegate him to, like, the background of four shit stars of the movie. Why don't you do this, folks? Why don't you have a movie and call it fucking Doom and have the fucking Fantastic Four be ancillary background characters in his shit. You know, get into his motivation, his background. If he's the hot shit for you guys, then make a movie about the hot shit. You almost got there with the Rise of the Silver Surfer. Like, I think I saw it, but it's so unmemorable that I don't even fucking know anything about it. But if you were to focus on the Silver Surfer, which you did nothing with subsequently, why not focus on Doom? Who's supposedly, he's your big guy, anyway, so, whatever. I gotta give a shout out to one of the best extra work that examples that I've seen in a movie, in Spider-Man, right? There's a scene where Michael Keaton, who's playing the villain, and by the way, best motivation for a villain I've seen in a while, you know? The idea is, hey, I got this company, and we're gonna clean up when the Avengers fuck shit up, right? Oh, spoiler alert, sorry, but anyway, this is what happens. We're going to clean up these sites where the Avengers get into battles with intergalactic enemies, right? We're going to clean it up. And then all of a sudden, someone comes in and they're like, hey, we're going to take this over. Oh, hey, this is my business, man. You're taking food out of my children's mouths. Well, fuck you. We're taking this. All right, well, who do you work for? And they're like, Tony Stark. So he's like, wait a second. Tony Stark is going to create this shit and he's going to make money cleaning up on this? Fuck that. And then he steals some of the tech, and he decides he's going to take this tech and start robbing motherfuckers with it. And it's like, I'm going to build a business selling the tech that I'm stealing from the motherfucker that caused the problem in the first place. And it's like, honestly speaking, if you're like the little guy, you know what I'm saying, and you just want to make a living, basically it's kind of like torrenting and LimeWire and it's like stealing, like downloading music for free. It's like, fuck you. You motherfuckers are doing fine. I'm a little insignificant motherfucker. I'm just going to do a little shit over here, you know, and this is why, you know, it's okay, and that's why, but the Vulture, Michael Keaton in the movie, you know, he decides to get all lofty and starts getting all bigger and shit, and that's when he fucking has his downfall. You know, me, hey, I don't want to get titled, and I don't want to hear that 444, so, yeah, you know, not me. I mean, when I say me, I mean a friend of mine, somebody I heard, if not even someone I know, it's a friend of a friend. It was a third-hand story, inadmissible in court, see, can't see me, copper, yeah, see, yeah, okay, so anyway, Spider-Man. Michael Keaton's in the car, and this is the pivotal scene. This is totally spoilers for Spider-Man, by the way. So, fast forward, or whatever, you're probably not even listening anyway. So, anyway, here we go. So, they're in the car, and Michael Keaton's driving Spider-Man to the dance with his daughter, it turns out. Like, and that was an awesome little reveal right there, that the bad guy was the love interest of Peter Parker. By the way, the girl that plays Peter Parker's love interest in this movie could be young Laverne Cox, and that was really fucking me up when I was watching the movie. Who's Laverne Cox? The transgender actor slash actress who's on Orange is the New Black. It's a he converted to she situation who's like, hey, you're a slightly attractive person. Oh, but you used to be a man, so now I'm conflicted. Does that mean I want to fuck a man chick, or what's going on? Do I like chicks with dicks? Now I'm confused. Am I a cisgendered something? What's the pronoun you want to use? Right? Okay. Except the problem is, the love interest of Peter Parker in the movie looks like a junior transsexual. So that was a bit of a thing. Anyway, Michael Keaton's in the car with Junior Transsexual and Peter Parker, and he's putting it together. Hey, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, and it's like the scene where he's doing it, right? And when he's like putting it all together, the light, he's in New York City traffic, right? And the light turns green. This was also cool. The light, you actually saw the light turn green. Like the shadow, the reflection of the light on his face went from red to green, and he's still there putting it together. And then all of a sudden, hey, guy, the daughter goes, the green light, Dad, come on, you know, and then, and then he's still in a daze, and then he hears the horns behind him, and then they go to a wider shot, and the extra who's driving the car behind Keaton and Spider-Man gives a it throws his hands up like, hey, come on. And I'm, you know, this is how, like, I don't know, that was a great scene in the movie, but I was looking at what the extra was doing, just goes to show how invested I was in the whole experience anyway. I mean, like, I don't know, man. Like, this movie, Baby Driver, everyone's sucking Baby Driver's dick. Everyone, oh, Baby Driver is great. Oh, oh, yeah, it's great. This is the first time I am taking people, like, the consensus of everyone, oh, you gotta go see the movie, and I'm not going to see it, all right? I'm getting to the point where, like, that thing, I used to ride the train of, oh, this is the hot movie you gotta see, but also, here's another thing, the hot movie you had to go see was actually pretty good. Like, Pulp Fiction had that. That was a movie that you had to go see. You know, but sometimes that buzz is wrong, and so I'm, now look, I might wind up loving Baby Driver. I'm just saying, I went to go see that movie, It Follows. They're like, this is the greatest horror movie of a generation. This defines what horror should be, and I do not like horror movies, but I was like, okay, if you're telling me that It Follows is the greatest example of a horror movie in this generation, I'll give it a shot. If you're saying this is an excellent, stellar example of the genre that you love, and I'm not fond of, but I am open to it, so I went to go see it. Hated it. Sucked. I did not enjoy It Follows. It sucked. Okay? How about that? So, I'm not really going along with what everybody says. Because honestly, Trump's the president. So fuck what all you people like. There's that. Alright. So, okay, yeah. The villains get the best motivation. I like that. Spider-Bro. Young Laverne Cox. Alright, that's pretty much it for Spider-Man. If I had to give it a letter grade... Okay. All that... Avengers, I mean, I like that it's folded in. If you're folded into the Marvel Universe, you gotta expect that a certain, like, at least 25%'s gotta be devoted to, like, Avengers shit. And it's okay, because I like Avengers shit. But, I don't know. And then they kind of cheated with the whole Zendaya being MJ thing. It's like, her name is Mary Jane, like, forever. How is Mary Jane gonna be Michelle Jones now? I don't know. Whatever, man. Alright, so that's Spider-Man. I also saw Glow. That's on Netflix. I saw the whole thing. It's got Alison Brie from Community, Mark Maron from WTF Podcast. Yeah, I like it. Honestly, I think I like Glow better than I like Spider-Man. If I had to choose one of the... Yeah, I think I'd take Glow. Glow is pretty good. Glow's gorgeous ladies of wrestling. And it's 80s, set in the 80s. And it's pretty period. And it's got nice stories. And that's another thing. This is a show by Jenji Kohan, I think it is. She did Weeds, which is a show I like. She does Orange is New Black, which is a show I like. And I believe she's like executive producer of Glow, but she's, you know, steering it, you know, along the way. And I enjoy it. And like I said, this Jenji Kohan, she hires, like, women. Like, a lot of women. That Weeds was a strong female show. Orange is New Black, super strong. All types of women in that show. And Glow, bunch more different different bodied women that you don't normally see. So Glow is pretty good. So let's play a song, and I have an idea, right? I don't know how this is going to play. Play. Just a play on words, and you'll see why in a second. All right, here's a song. Check us out. I'll be right back.
I'm really stepping up my game. These bitches got to start paying me for this. Can't get no more free, Randy.
Got everything, I got everything. I cannot complain, I cannot. I don't even know how much I really made. I forgot, it's a lie. Fuck that, never mind what I got. Nigga, don't watch that, cause I came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me. No help, that's all me for real. Came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me. No help, that's all me. All me for real.
Money on my mind, you should think the same. J's on, pink and ring. Dogging these hoes, I need quarantine. In the same league, but we don't bow the same. Oh, she want all the fame. I hear the shit all the time. Since you love me, I said, baby girl, fall in line. Okay, made a million off a dinner fork. Watch me switch it up, walked in. Ill nigga alert. You need that work, I got that work. Got bitches in my condo. Just bought a shirt that cost a Mercedes Benz car. No, from the A to Toronto, we let the metal go off. And my dick so hard, it make the metal detector go off. This that sauce, this that dressing. Chief, nigga, God bless you. If having a bad bitch was a crime, I'd be arrested.
Got everything, I got everything. I cannot complain, I cannot. I don't even know how much I really made. I forgot, it's a lie. Fuck that, never mind what I got. Nigga, don't watch that, cause I came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me. No help, that's all me. All me, for real. Came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me. No help, that's all me. All me, for real. I touched down in 86. Knew I was a man by the age of 6. I even fucked the girl that used to babysit, but that was years later on some crazy shit. I heard your new shit. Nigga hated it. Damon Wayans told me don't play that shit. I get paid a lot, you get paid a bit. And my latest shit is like a greatest hits. God damn. Ain't no wishing over on this side. Y'all don't fuck with us, then we don't fuck with y'all. It's no different over on this side. God damn. Should I listen to everybody or myself? Cause myself just told myself, you the motherfucking man, you don't need no help. Cash and checks, and I'm bigging up my chest. Y'all keep talking about who next, but I'm about as big as it gets. I swear y'all just wasting y'all breath. I'm the light skin, keep swearing. I'ma make it last forever. It's not your time, cause I ain't done yet. Look, just understand that I'm on a roll like Cottonelle. I was made for all of this shit. And I'm on a roll, box office sales, I'm getting paid for all of this shit. Ask you to please excuse my table manners. I was making room for the table dancers. Cause if we judging off your advance, and I just got paid like 8 advances. God dang.
Got everything, I got everything. I cannot complain, I cannot. I don't even know how much I really made. I forgot, it's a lie. Fuck that, never mind what I got. Nigga, don't watch that, cause I came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me. No help, that's all me, for real. Came up, that's all me. Stay true, that's all me.
Ho, shut the fuck up. I got way too much on my mental.
Sorry, Big Sean fans. Does not suit my purpose, so now we gotta move on. Okay. Now, as you may or may not know, if you have or have not listened to this, I'm in a state of trying to rebuild my interest in performing. In a way that is sustainable, because it turned out my prior way of performing was not. So, one of the things I have to do is learn to be comfortable with taking my time when I'm on the mic. Like, even when I did that last bit, I was kind of rapid fire, you know? So this is me on a mic taking my time. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this game that I got. Now, I was going to have a party, long story short, it happened to be on the same day that everyone I know had other plans, and I literally can't say shit. Like, people were traveling out of state, people were, oh, fuck, the fucking fuck. Alright, when I first moved into the apartment I'm in right now, my downstairs neighbor's dryer literally exhausted into my apartment, so the blast of fucking that exhaust stuff, like highly toxic, like dryer sheet chemical, like it's on another level. It's just, it's unseemly. So now we went through a whole thing, got it fixed, except it goes outside and still is the same fucking smell, but it's like noxious, and it just started, and I gotta pause right now to deal with this. Hold on a second. Okay, now I mentioned in a previous show, I got this book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, something along those lines. And I was literally just reading today about not making something a big deal if it doesn't have to be a big deal. And I just applied it, like right now. And here's what happened. So, my place for... Alright. Even though Connecticut is a shithole, I kind of like my place. But, there's a serious problem. Aside from the whole dryer thing that's happened, I believe this might be a structurally unsound building. The AC, it leaks, like, and not like a little drip, no, that shit leaks, like significant drips, you know, and there is no basin, there's no way, way to stick a bucket back there to kind of collect everything, otherwise you'll be, you know, emptying the thing every, you know, so I don't know what the hell's going on. There might be mold. I don't smell it, but whatever. Alright, speaking of mold, I just saw this movie Little Boxes on Netflix with the guy Nelson Ellis, who played Lafayette on True Blood, and he just died yesterday. So, rest in peace, heart failure or something. Rest in peace to that guy. He was, Bobby Bird in Get On Up, the James Brown movie. He was James Brown's, like, running buddy. So anyway, applying the subtle art of not giving a fuck. I have this apartment. I kind of dig it. It's the first time I've had, like, an upstairs in a residence I've had. I've always had apartments. This is the first time I've had an upstairs. I have a deck, a really nice deck out back, you know? And the reason why I'm smelling the exhaust is the exhaust exhausts right at the deck, and I had my door open, so it was blasting right back in. So, like, I don't know. At some point, I would have maybe gone around in circles about how I have this place, I have a beautiful deck, and I can't use it because this guy's, like, exhaust, if it's not blowing in my house, it's blowing at my deck, and I would get fired up about that. But I'm not, because I understand that my life is shit, and I don't deserve to have good things happen to me. Because I was also thinking about being in the movies. Like, I went and saw Spider-Man. Big-ass theater. But I got this little fucking kid kicking the seat behind my seat. And this is like that, you know, you got to select your seat before you even go in that seat, which is whatever it is. But anyway, so it wasn't like they just happened to sit there. No, this is seat selected me to be the one who got the kid kicked. And I'm the last couple movies I went to, kicking the back of my seat, and I'm thinking, like, why the fuck is the person kicking the back? Like, I'll do the little stern turnaround, but yesterday it was, like, the Spider-Man. It was a kid, and the kid wound up starting to scream, and the parent had to take him out, and it was a whole thing, but kid was gone, you know, and I got to enjoy the rest of the movie, but I would just say it. So anyway, I was listening to a podcast today, and they were talking about how he went to go see, the person who was doing the review went to go see a movie, he was the only one in the theater, and someone came and sat, like, two seats, in an empty theater, came and sat, like, two seats away from him. And I was like, okay, first of all, I was glad, because that literally happened to me, and I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? I was playing hooky from a job. I was at work, and I was, you know, minimal supervision. I'm not, you know, fuck it. I'm taking advantage of life, because, you know, otherwise life will only take advantage of you. So anyway, I went to go see a movie. I think it was like How High or something. It was just some stupid movie. And afternoon, and I had the whole theater to myself, and this couple comes in, and they sit one seat away from me. Big-ass theater, and they're sitting, like, right next to me. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I get so wound up in my head. I just sat there just fuming. Like, why the, like, I could have gotten up and moved myself, but I'm like, why the fuck would you do that? Why the fuck are you sitting right next to me? Why the fuck are you kicking the back of my chair? I don't see anyone else's chair getting kicked, but my chair is getting kicked. And I wound up so, you know, what are you gonna do? So these are just experiences that. You know, I'm trying to improve. I'm trying to improve here. So, okay. So, back to the original plan is what I was doing. I was going to have this party. And like I was saying, it can't get wrapped up on things that don't happen. I was going to have this party. No one fucking had any interest. So, well, I shouldn't say no one, but a lot of people couldn't make it. And one of the things I was going to do with this party, I was in one of the things that kind of started me down the road of doing it was I was in Barnes & Noble's and I saw this game. Game called Shit Happens, and the tagline is to you, to me, to pretty much everyone, and it's a card game. So I looked at the back, and apparently there's some cards, and I figured I would play this at the party, but the party's not happening, so I figured I would play it here on the thing, because as I said earlier, I'm trying to slow down, take time on the mic, and say, hey, I'm not here to please you, I'm not trying to get my words out fast, so I can get to your laughter and your enjoyment. I'm going to do things at my pace. I don't give a fuck if you laugh or not. You are, because it's just the way it works, but alright. So shit happens, and I'm going to check this game out on live and direct, so you can listen to this happen. So okay, here's the instructions to Shit Happens. And I presume it's a game for a bunch of people, so this is just going to be sad, I suppose you can call it. Anyway, okay, here we go. So shit happens, instructions. Hate reading rules, so do we. Find instructional how to play videos at shithappensgame.com. So why don't I go to the site, see if it's something I can download, and you can listen to it, as opposed to having me explain it. Let's see if we can do this. Okay. So I went to their website, and you have to log in to watch their video. So I said, fuck you very much. I'm going to move on in life. So I went to YouTube, and sure enough, the video that you have to log on to on their dumb site is available on YouTube. And then I started watching it, and the video sucked. So now I'm going to hope that the game is better, because on the box it's interesting, so we're just going to get into it. Here we go. What the fuck am I trying to accomplish here? The best at ranking shitty events from the least shitty to the shittiest. So in the box are 200 shitty situation cards. Each card depicts a shitty event that has happened or could happen. Okay? So the misery index, what is this? So the cards, 50, 100. So there's different numbers. A lot of cards. Different numbers on the misery index. Some of the situations are pretty minor, and some of them are more problematic. Each card is ranked, and that's the misery index. So it's the ranking system that goes from 1 to 100, where 10 is an enema, the low 50s is chronic insomnia, bankruptcy is high 70s, and surgeon amputates the wrong leg is 100. So, and the instructions say, you may be wondering, how did we rank the cards? Well, we didn't. We asked a panel of serious, high-qualified grown-ups. Basically, they asked their friends. Okay. And they considered factors such as anxiety level by the event, emotional trauma, and long-term psychological damage. And that is how they come up to with the misery index. So on the card, you have three things. There's a shitty situation, there's a little drawing, and then the misery index number. And that's on each of the cards that I'm going to be doing. So to play, you shuffle the deck and deal three cards to each player. And I like these instructions. We don't care who deals, you're grown-ass adults, you decide. Okay, because there's no dice involved. So, okay. So then you place your cards face up on the table in front of you, ranked by the numerical order of the misery index. You're building a scale, so it's going to be the lane of pain, they're calling it. So in the lane of pain, you have your three cards, and you put them on the low, you know, misery index number up to high. So the same player who is man enough to deal the cards goes first. So when it's your turn, the player to your right draws a card from the pile. He or she reads the shitty situation but doesn't say the misery index number. So to win the card, you don't have to guess the exact number. All you have to do is guess the proper place in your lane of pain. So if you have your three cards laid out in front of you with the three numbers, you have to figure if what the person says, where it lands in your lane, right? In, where in your three, right? Okay, that sounds easy enough. So in order to win the card, so what you're going to do, blah, blah, blah. If you're thinking catching your parents having sex is less awful than a disastrous haircut, then you'd be wrong because, okay, yeah, seeing your parents have sex is, well, and then, okay, and that's where the game comes in, because you're sitting there going back and forth. Gotcha. All right, so you got to put things in your lane of pain. And blah, 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 blah. And if you're right, then you get the card. And if you're wrong, then they can steal it. Okay, since there's no one else, it doesn't matter. So, okay, I'm going to do this by myself. I'm going to play a game for a bunch of people at a party and having fun. And since I'm ineligible for partying and having fun with people, I'm going to play by myself for your potential amusement. We shall see what happens. Or boredom, or putting you to sleep, whatever this is. You know, I'm here to play. So right now, I'm unwrapping the cards because I literally have never I just opened this for the purpose of this. I'm only going to use one deck because I'm one sad, lonely person. I don't need two. So, boom. And so I am now going to shuffle these cards. Hey, look, there's a 36 on the index. Oh, don't tell me they're in alphabetical order. They're in numerical order. Why would they do in numerical order? So to get the really bad ones, okay, so there's that. Got to do both decks because apparently they separated them out. So I'm going to now open the second deck of cards. My plan, by the way, once I'm done here, is to not leave my house, but I will watch the Defiant Ones. This Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre documentary on HBO. Kind of interested in seeing what that looks like. They say Dr. Dre addresses beating Dee Barnes in the 90s. So that's good for him trying to be an upstanding citizen in the world. That's the whole purpose of this, by the way. is to let people know Jimmy Iovine's position in the world, that he is great and should be praised, and Dr. Dre is giving his mea culpa for beating a woman. And that is the only reason this whole thing exists, but I will watch it anyway. Anywho, I am now shuffling the cards. I'm shuffling the cards so that we can play the game. And because all the misery index is one direction, I'm now trying to keep all the cards in that same direction. In the same direction! And I'm also stealing affectations from Bill Burr because I listen to his podcast and he does the same thing as me, except he's way more entertaining. Well, he has more listeners. He's entertaining. Fuck it. Bill Burr's better than me. Alright. So now I'm putting the cards and I'm getting them all shuffled up and everything. Because, and they're not like the easy type of cards where you can just, you know, whatever. They're kind of weird. So, I am shuffling. I'm shuffling along. I'm still shuffling because I wouldn't say I'm OCD. I'm just doing what I gotta do, bro. Just doing what I gotta do, man. Life, man. Life. All right, that's plenty shuffled. And I'm again gonna go back to the half a deck because I don't need that many cards. Because I'm just one guy playing a game by himself, recording it. That's what I'm doing. Alright, so now I got a nice, healthy little stack of cards. Healthy stack of cards! And I'm going to take 1, 2, 3 cards, right? Like I'm supposed to, you know what, I should take them at a different place in the deck. Because I didn't have the most smooth shuffling situation there. So I'm going to do that one out of there. And I'm going to do that. So here's my 3 cards. I have a 3.5 on the misery index, which is squirrel in the house. Okay, and that's a 3.5. And then my next sequential number is 65.5, which is you're added to the no-fly list. And then the third one is misery index 80, wake up covered in fire ants, which is weird because that happened to me. Kind of not covered in my body, but like they were on my glasses. Like I don't know what happened. I think I was living in Orlando at the time, and my glasses were on the floor as opposed to on a coffee table. And then when I put my glasses on my face, I felt something weird. And then I took them off. There was like a gang of ants all over my glasses, and that was like that bugged me out. But it was weird. Anyway, so yeah, I put that up on a misery index of 80 because I mean if they're over my whole body. Okay, so now I'm gonna grab a card. And because I'm playing by myself, I'm going to cover the bottom of the card, cover the misery index so I don't see. See? I'm smart. I don't care what people say. I'm not dumb. Okay. So the card I got, and I got the number covered, non-consensual bear sex while caught in a bear trap. Okay. I'm going to say that's definitely worse than having a squirrel in the house. It's also worse than being added to the no-fly list. I would also say it's worse than being covered in fire ants because you're being raped by a bear. Not only being raped by a bear, you're in a bear trap. Because both are alone horrible. So I'm going to say this is high misery index and it's way past the fire ants. I'm putting it on the end. Correct. It's a 99 on the misery index. So I win that card. And I'm going to pick another out of the pile. And that's how you play shit happens. I can imagine if you had a bunch of people, how this could be a good time. So I guess I'm going to congratulate myself on picking a potentially good game from the thing. Now, here's the thing. There is an example on in the instructions. And the card I just pulled is the card in the instructions. But I do not remember what the misery index number was, so I'm going to play ahead. But the example on the card is at restaurant, and you find a condom in your burger. Now, what they didn't say... Now, there's an illustration here on the card, and the illustration doesn't have a bite in the burger. It just has a condom laying out of the burger, which means you could have caught it before you even took the first bite. You honestly would have to... Me, personally, in this situation, I would have to do everything in my power to not call the waitress a fucking retard for even putting that down in front of me. Because the picture is the condom, you know, just sticking out of the burger. And it's very clean. It's like dripping off the plate. dripping, probably not the best word, but it's unrolled, so dripping might be happening. Anyway, where am I going to put this? Finding a condom in the burger. Now, they didn't say you took a bite of it. They didn't say you're chewing on it. They didn't say it gushed like Jules gum when you bit into it. So that would have been like 100 at the edge. But if I find a condom in a burger without taking a bite, see, to me, that's no big deal because I would just be done with the whole and I'd walk out and move on. But if there's people there and da-da-da-da, it's a pain in the neck. So I'm going to say that's easier than being added to the no-fly list. So I'm going to say that it's before the being added to the no-fly list. And I'm right. Cool. They're saying that the condom in the burger is a 50 on the misery index, so it is, you know, better than being added to the no-fly list. So I win again. All right. I'm doing good at the game I'm playing by myself. I'm winning. I'm beating myself. So I guess you could say me beating myself is pretty much the same thing that goes on in my mental and below my waist. Hello! All right. The next card, incurable hiccups. Now, I've had hiccups for an extended period of time. I did not find that to be pleasurable. So, I would rather... Okay, I'd rather have incurable hiccups than be raped by a bear while in a bear trap. But I would rather be covered in fire ants. Well, do fire ants bite? I think that's the point. They call them fire ants. They bite. So I'm going to say incurable hiccups. No. Incurable hiccups, it might drive you crazy. It's a mental thing. I'm going to say it's definitely worse than being added to the no-fly list. So we're at the right side of this, of the chain here. Incurable hiccups. That's tough. I'm going to say that's going to be worse than waking up in fire ants. Because you can shower and be done with it. Incurable means you can't stop it. So I'm going to say that's after the fire ants. They're saying it's 88, and I'm right. Yes, good for me. All right, time to pick another card. I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Here we go. Next card. Half a dead hooker in your bed. Huh. So it's half a dead hooker in the bed. Now, I didn't cut her in half, and I didn't get a hooker. So I'm pretty sure the evidence will point to me not killing or having a hooker. I just happen to be in bed with her. That could be anything. So I'm going to say that one is less than waking up covered in fire ants, but more, well... I mean, look, it's a dead hooker. I didn't put her there, so I'm not really connected to it. So it might actually be less than the no-fly list. I'm going to say that half a dead hooker in my bed is less misery than being added to the no-fly list. They disagree. They say that finding half a dead hooker in your bed is worse than incurable hiccups, not as bad as being raped by a bear while caught in a bear trap. I got that one wrong. I will put that one to the side. That's why I don't fuck with hookers. So there's that. I have a feeling like a lot of my problems would be solved if prostitution was legal. I really do believe that. Like, I really think if there was a store, or, well, probably wouldn't be a store, well, technically, but whatever. All right. I have a feel. I honestly think if prostitution was legal, I would get a prostitute. From time to time, you know, I'd do it. So, all right, I just put that out in the world. I don't know why. Anyway, okay. So the next card, non-consensual bear sex. They really seem to be hung up on non-consensual bear sex. Being raped by a bear is very important to the people of the Shit Happens Game Corporation. I'm going to say that being raped by a bear is still better than being raped by a bear while being caught in a bear trap, and also worse than incurable hiccups. So I will say that it's after incurable hiccups. I am right, 98.5. All right, yay for me. I am only one wrong one. I'm going to do a couple more of these and wrap it up. All right. Ugh. Next card. Threesome. You and your parents. Okay, that is horrible. Okay, it's definitely worse than incurable hiccups. Worse than being raped by a bear. Okay, I'm going to say it's worse than being raped by a... Is it worse than being raped by... Now, see, being caught in the bear trap seems more less pleasant than sex with my parents. So, I'm going to say the bear trap bear rape is the worst. Threesome with the parents is... Well, see, the bear wouldn't be tender. I have a feeling the bear would maul the fuck out of you while it's raping you, so that would be worse. So I'm going to say the threesome with me and my parents is only worse than being raped by a bear. 98. So yeah, I win that one too. All right, yeah. All right, so yeah. Because, you know, being... You're still in the human sex realm, and I'm sure, you know, mom's not going to, you know, be horrible, and dad will be like, my man. All right. The next one that comes up... And by the way, I'm covering up the misery index, so I'm covering it up with the instructions from the game. All right, facelift goes horribly south. So a bad facelift. Well, if you can afford to get the bad facelift, you can probably afford to get it fixed. So that's not the end of the world. Incurable hiccups is seemingly a forever. Facelift goes wrong. Waking up covered in fire ants, you can shower and get rid of them. So I'm gonna say. Bad facelift is after fire ants, but before incurable hiccups. 91. No, they're saying incurable hiccups. They're saying a facelift. Bad facelift is worse than incurable hiccups. So I got that one wrong. Two wrong by their book. But for me, you know, incurable means you're going to go crazy. You're going to want to kill yourself. Bad facelift, you move. You go on a long vacation and get it redone. And you're better. But whatever. All right. Okay, next, we'll call this the last one. Rattlesnake bites genitals. That is definitely a bad one. Now, if you're alone, then that's your, well, I was going to say your ass, but that's your dick. But if someone's there, they can suck the poison out of your dick and you might survive. So I'm going to say getting bit in the dick, but, well, if you're a female and the... Getting bitten in the crotch. Why am I? I'm aping now Bill Burr's affectations. Let me stop that. All right. But I did take helicopter lessons. All right. Anyway, rattlesnake bites genitals is definitely in bear rape category. Threesome with the parents, incurable hiccups. See, to me, I'm stuck in the claustrophobia of not being able to stop the hiccups. That is... See, now we're getting, like, personal... into personal. Also, if a rattlesnake bit my dick, rattlesnake's gonna go back with broken teeth. Fuck you. Strong like bear, built like steel. Alright. Getting bit in the dick by a rattlesnake is... I mean, I figure they'll say it's worse, because okay, apparently people don't hold incurable hiccups in high regard, in as high regard as me. So I'm going to say that the rattlesnake bites genitals is after hiccups, but before. Well, see, they seem to really value the animal shit, though, in this game. So, it's tough. Rattlesnake bites the dick, it's after hiccups. Not sure if it's before or after the threesome with the parents, though. I'm going to say it's before the threesome with the... No, it's probably worse, because there's pain involved. Yeah, pain... plus dick. I'm going to say the rattlesnake bite in the genitals is after the parent threesome. And I am wrong. Okay, so that's three wrong. That's three wrong. I'll get over it. So the three I got wrong were the half the dead hooker in my bed, the facelift goes wrong, and the rattlesnake biting the genitals. So by order, I got the easiest to the worst is squirrel in the house, at restaurant find condiment burger, you're added to the no-fly list, wake up covered in fire ants, incurable hiccups, threesome you and your parents, non-consensual bear sex, and then the coup de grace, the non-consensual bear sex while caught in a bear trap. All right. I can see how that could be a fun time with some folks. That was pleasurable. I enjoyed it even by myself, but that's because I'm with one of my favorite people in the world. I'm so charming. I'm so delightful. Why don't the people like you, Lamont? I don't know, man. I tried. Let me give you an example of me trying. South Florida. Comedy. I had a writer's room It was weekly on Monday. It was brought to you, the space and all the goodies that came with it were courtesy of the benefactors, Mr. Ed Pebbles, who subsequently went on to cease communicating with me because they are Republicans, and I speak very poorly about Republicans because I think they're horrible people. I think people that believe that stuff, you know, listen, when you say Black Lives Matter are terrorists because we're trying not to be, you know, shot by, murdered by police, and we're terrorists because of it, I take offense to that. So you're taking offense to my offense. Really, it's a wash. But ultimately, they decided they would rather not have me around, so I got cut off. But so be it. But before the cutting off happened, they had some space. It was like a storefront, and they had like a driving school. And so this is a writer's room. It was open to anybody that wanted to come, but we had like a steady, you know, I'd say steady crew of about five or six people that, you know, were always there. And so we did this, we did our thing. And here's the thing. The space, that there was like four easy chairs. There was four recliners in there. There was tables. There was chairs. There was a little, there was a microphone and a little speaker so you could get your little comedy thing. There was a mic stand. There was a little stage. There was lights. There was a computer hooked up to a big screen. So if you wanted to look up some comedy shit, you could pull it up on the screen. There was two large cheese pizza every single time. Maybe once or twice. But every time there was two large cheese pizzas. There was a refrigerator stocked with beverages, water, beers, sodas. There was ice cream in the freezer. There was chips, cookies, candy, all types of stuff. You could smoke weed in there. And it was a clubhouse. And like I said, about six occasionally, whatever. But there was five or six core people that were, you know, the group. And people just didn't fuck with it. That was like, that to me was like a slam dunk. Like, and you just go there, you work on new material, you critique other people's stuff, we workshop stuff, and people got to be strong, got stronger material because of it. People weren't fucking with it because, you know, I was attached to it and people weren't fucking with me, and that's just the way it goes. So be it, right? Okay. So here's where the disappointment came in, huh? There was a weekend that went on where I had, I was supposed to be on, well, I wouldn't say supposed to be, but there was two of the people that were regulars at the writers' meeting. Well, one guy that was like, oh, every week, like every weeker for the most part, he lived like right around the corner. He had a show and he didn't ask me to be on it, but he asked other people that were a part of that crew to be on the show. All right, whatever. But then one of the girls had a show and she never asked me to be on it, but that was a weird one because the person that ran her show was an asshole. And let me give you an example of someone that I'm calling an asshole. This is a guy. Okay, there was a Miami New Times, like the arts newspaper, did an article on the female comedians in South Florida. There was one, and the big thing in the article that had a lot of people like, what the fuck, was they were saying, like, girls get, no, the misogyny with comedians is hard, and girls are always getting harassed and assaulted and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, whoa, what the fuck is happening? And the one guy in the entire comedy scene that got quoted in the article and got a little press, because that was the only reason, so he could promote his own stuff. The only guy that got in the article promoting his stuff was literally a guy who had a reputation for sexually assaulting female comedians. He literally, there was one girl who literally, her body physically shook when he came around because he took liberties with this female that he shouldn't have taken. And that is the guy. And then people, you know, hail him. And, oh, he's a great guy. And I was like, dude, can't you? It's like Trump. It's like you can see Trump as a shithead a mile away. This guy had a twist. He literally had a twisty, twirly mustache sometimes. He cuts it here, there, and there. But anyway, I probably wouldn't have done that show with that girl, but the fact remained that I didn't do her show. That was two instances of people that I regularly see that had shows didn't put me on. And then the third one was a show that was a monthly that I kept getting blown off on, and the guy, fuck that guy. But anyway, that was a pretty bad week. If there's some weekends in comedy where things don't go your way, it kind of fucks with you. Never mind a heckler. Hecklers come and go. Sometimes a heckler will get a zing in on you, you know, that'll kind of set you back and kind of, you know, make you kind of do a double step, you know. But sometimes situations and circumstances of comedy would, you know, put you on your ass too. And that was one weekend that that kind of got me. Three shows that I, whatever. So that's it. All right. That's the end of my belly aching and card playing and solo gaming. Yeah, that's about it. This is my last podcast. I'm Lamont. See ya.